Nice.
I'll be reading from Psalm chapter 24 and verse number 9. Psalm 24 and verse number 9. He says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to be here with your people in this place. Lord, thank you for each one that is here this morning. Father, I pray that as we open your word, as we sing songs of praise to you, that Father, your Holy Spirit would work amongst us. That Lord, you would show us yourself this morning. I pray that we would truly, Father, recognize and see our need of you, the King of glory. And Lord, may you have free reign here this morning, Father, to work in our midst. May all that is said be done to your honor, and to your glory, and to your praise. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Let's sing number 71 together. Number 71, "Come Thou Almighty King." Seated, 356, and we'll sing together, "Jesus, Lover of My Soul." Jesus, Lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly, while the
Amen.
forward for the offering. Peter, would you ask the Lord's blessing on the offering, please? Please stand again and let's sing number 537, 537, Jesus Saves.
Good morning to each and every one of you. What a beautiful day Maybe spring has finally come. April showers turned into May showers, and it's been raining a lot, but it's nice to see the sunshine. Glad that you are here. If you're a first-time visitor today, we welcome you. Returning visitor, we welcome you as well. And all of you regulars, we welcome you also. Good to see you. Just before the message, and today we will be continuing in message four of our series from 1 Thessalonians. And of course, our series title, Are You Rapture Ready? And today we're going to be bringing a message called The Sound of the Gospel. But just before that, I want to go to prayer. I want to remind you of a couple of prayer requests. Many of you saw not only the request, but the praise considering Dawn's dad. So we're thankful for that. I got a prayer request this morning from Jamie. His Aunt Bev fell and hit her head yesterday. And I think, or was it today? Yes, last night. And Uncle Ken's dementia is getting much worse, and some serious decisions need to be made there. So do keep Jamie and the family in prayer. Also, our brother Bill Smith's not able to be here today. He's not feeling too well. We have some folks on vacation, and I'd appreciate your prayers tomorrow, as I found out over the weekend I have to do a funeral and committal service for a local man named John Carr. So keep that in prayer. And just before the message, let's go to prayer. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness to us. What a joy it is to be once again here today in your house with your people. And we just praise you that we have the opportunity, Lord, to worship you. And we thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is risen and ascended, and as your word promises, coming again. So may we live today and every day like we realize his coming is soon. Lord, we come before you a needy people also, and we pray for these requests today. We think of Jamie's Aunt Bev in this fall and Uncle Ken. Lord, we realize the dementia and the difficulties that they are going through at this time. Please give Jamie, Sheila, and the rest of the family wisdom as they deal with this. And just be with both Bev and Ken. Lord, we think of Bill, who can't be with us today. And we think of others who may not be feeling well and are not able to be here. We just pray that you would raise them up. We think, Lord, of some of our senior saints whom we love. And Lord, sometimes the difficulties of age is creeping in, and we just pray for them and pray for their needs, Lord. We think of those who can't be with us because they're on vacation. Bless them in their travels. Keep them safe. Give their bodies physical refreshment and bring them back to us safely, Lord. But we also want to praise you, Lord, for Dawn's father and the successful surgery. We just pray for his continued recovery. And Lord, we just pray for the needs there and the spiritual needs there as well. But Lord, now as we turn our attention to your word, I pray that you'd open our hearts, our eyes, our ears, our minds to your word. And help us not only to receive it, but to understand it, to meditate upon it, and Lord, most importantly, to live by it. May your word change us today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And again, to our college folk that are here and graduated, congratulations. Those who have not graduated but are in between years, your time is coming. But we're glad you're here with us for the summer. And for those high school graduates that are about to graduate in a couple of weeks, congratulations to you. Scary time in your life, but don't be afraid. Your parents are more afraid than you are. So, but anyway, glad that you are here. So we're going to turn our attention to 1 Thessalonians this morning, chapter 1. I'd like to read verses 8 to 10. That will be our text today. And again, bring a message titled, The Sound of the Gospel. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 says, For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God's word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So, again, the title of our series on 1 Thessalonians is, Are You Rapture Ready? And this series is about living in light of Christ's soon return. We know that the Lord Jesus is coming soon. We don't know when. We don't name dates. We don't know when he is coming. But his coming is definitely 2,000 years after the fact when Paul wrote this. So it's 2,000 years sooner than when this was even written. And with some of the signs we see, his coming must be soon. But we have already seen in our studies, in our series, we've already seen the start of the church in Thessalonica. And then we saw in our second message our standing and our state. And in the last message, not last week because last week's was Mother's Day, but prior to that, the power of the gospel. So today, I would like to preach about the sound of the gospel, okay? And we need to understand a few things. Once I am saved and declared righteous, I have a standing in the heavenlies. Because of Christ's finished work on the cross, God sees me, God sees all of us who are saved. If you're here and you're saved this morning, you've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, in the heavenlies, before the throne of God, God declares and sees us righteous. Isn't that an amazing truth and an amazing fact? That's my standing. This is the power of the gospel, and we already saw that a couple of messages ago. But today, we will see that once we are saved, we are expected to share that gospel. The sound of the gospel must proceed from our mouth. We must share the gospel with people that we come in contact with. And this is exactly what the Thessalonian believers did. And this is also what we should be doing today. So turn your attention with me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. And notice with me first their reputation. Their reputation. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God's word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Now notice first, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord. Sounded out, that phrase sounded out, literally means to echo, okay? To resound. It is a loud, unmistakable proclamation. Did you ever go to a place, maybe you're in a valley or something, lots of high mountains, and you hollered as loud as you could, and then you heard what? Your echo as the sound waves bounced off the mountain, and you heard that echo. Well, that is kind of what this word means here. They echoed the same gospel that they heard and that they believed and that changed their lives. The very same gospel that they heard the Apostle Paul and the mission team preach. The very same gospel that they believed and received. And that very same gospel that changed their life, they were now echoing it. They were now repeating it. This was part of their reputation. Now, I want to ask a question, as it says, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord. How about you? Are you echoing the gospel that you heard, that you believed, And that changed your life. It's our responsibility to echo that, not only with how we live, but what we say, okay? What we say is very important. Now notice it continues, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad. And this spread abroad literally means is gone forth. It means to issue out. They were like missionaries. And everywhere they went, and people who even heard their testimony, everywhere they went, they began to spread abroad this message. They had a local outreach. Of course, this was Thessalonica. They had a local outreach in their town, in their city. They had a regional outreach in Achaia. They had a national outreach, Macedonia. That part of the world was called Macedonia. And then they even had a global outreach because it said in every place. And we can apply that to us today. And this is so familiar to Acts 1:8, but we can apply that to ourselves today. Do we have a local outreach? Where's our local outreach? Right here in Hill, wherever you may be living, okay? Do we have a regional outreach? Are we doing things to reach other folks in Merrimack County and in New Hampshire? How about a national outreach, the United States? And of course, a global outreach with worldwide missions. How about you? How about you? As you leave these church doors and you go back to your community where you may live, do you have that local outreach? As you expand, maybe you work a little farther from home. As you go there, do you have a bit of a regional outreach? As you travel about, maybe throughout the state of New Hampshire, or you go on vacation to Florida or wherever you may go, do you have a global outreach? You know, it's not only important for a church to have that, but it's important for us as individuals to have that. To sound out the gospel wherever we are, wherever we go. And then the verse concludes with, so that we need not speak anything. It's interesting what this phrase means. Paul learned that wherever he traveled, the reputation of the Thessalonian church had already gone before him. Now, I'm ad-libbing a little bit here, but as he was going around and continuing to spread the gospel, he might have heard things like this. Did you hear what's happening in Thessalonica? Did you hear that those people there, those pagan people who worshipped false gods, are now worshiping the true and living God? What about us? Wouldn't it be great if the people around us in Merrimack County and even farther would say, did you hear what the Lord is doing in Hill? To his glory, not to our glory. But that's what is supposed to happen. As we are sounding boards, as we are echo chambers for this gospel, everywhere we go, the gospel needs to go with us. The life-changing gospel. The gospel that can take a sinner and make him a saint. The gospel that can take a hell-bound person and give him a standing as righteous in the heavenlies. And that radically changes our lives. If you're here today without Christ, and if your life needs changing, and you've tried many things to change it, let me tell you, on the authority of the Word of God, the only thing that can eternally change your life is the gospel of the Lord Jesus. When God moves in, great things happen. God moves in, great things happen. And people will notice it. But people also need to hear from us what God has done and is doing. So this was their reputation. And we need to think about our own reputation. But notice with me verse 9, their salvation. Here is why they had a good reputation, because they were saved. Their salvation, verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had of you. Their reputation and witness proved the fruitfulness of Paul's ministry to the Thessalonian believers. They believed Paul's message, they received it, and it changed their lives. So as it says there in verse 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. As Paul is traveling about, and he is hearing all of what is going on back in Thessalonica, and as word is spreading of what God is doing, it proved to Paul that his ministry there was fruitful. Because here is the proof of that. How ye turned to God from idols. How ye turned to God from idols. Turned means just what it says, you know, to revert, to go in the opposite direction. Now, in the Greek, this phrase turned, this word turned, is in the aorist, which means they turned once for all. It was a single, definite act. They had turned once for all. And it is what we would call today repentance, okay? When someone trusts Christ as their Savior, they repent of their sin. They turn from to God, okay? It's a turning from sin and from trusting in false gods or false religion to Christ. John Wolvert, in his commentary on the books of the Thessalonians, says this, of this word, of this phrase, they turned from God, turned to God from idols. It does not say they turned from idols to God, but rather they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. It was not reformation first and faith in Christ second, but it was faith in Christ first, with the result that idols were forsaken. So it's not reformation. We could never clean ourselves up enough to be saved. But it is a turning from what is false to what is true. Part of the RU ministry is going to folks who are struggling with various addictions. And it's not asking them to, hey, why don't we help you sober up and then we'll introduce you to Christ. But we introduce them to Christ while they are still struggling. This past Friday, a lady walked in for the first time into our meeting. She had seen the advertisements. She had seen the sign. She lives very close, and she came. And this past Friday, I had the privilege of bringing the message, with Bill being on vacation, and Bill usually goes through and teaches a week by week a continuing message, but I didn't want to do that, and I felt compelled all week long to just preach and share a simple gospel message, not knowing who would be there, but this young woman came who was struggling. And prior to my message, we watched the DVD as usual. Prior to my message, she spent a half an hour alone with Joanna. And then during the message preaching this gospel, she responded to the invitation. And after the service, I spoke with her. And by all indications, she trusted Christ as her Savior. And that's what it's all about, and that's what we do. And people now will have to wait and see if she will turn. But God you know, now she has the ability to if she is saved, to for Christ to help her with her problem. It's not clean up and then come to God. It's come to God and He'll clean you up. And then there's proof. Then there's proof. It's a turning from sin and from trusting in false gods to Christ to then what? Serve the living and true God. And friends, this is why we evangelize. This is why we share the gospel. This is why we preach. This is why we teach. This is why we do missions. Okay? So that those who are lost and worshiping dead false gods can serve the living and true God. We live in a world today that is getting more anti-God. We live in a world today that is becoming anti-Christian. And in parts of this world, it's already been that way. But it's coming to America. And we hear some of our leaders in politics saying things. And we live in a world that it's getting more and more difficult to send missionaries out. Because, you know, the thought is, why bother those people? That's their religion. Here's why we bother to do missions. So that people can, how they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Because there is only one God. He is alive and He is the only true God. That's why we do it. That's why we spend money. That's why we send missionaries. That's why missionaries leave their homes and leave their jobs and go to a foreign land and learn another language and another culture so they can share with the people about the true and living God. And we need to do that right here, right outside these doors. This was their salvation, and this salvation that they had, the turning from sin, turning to God from idols, to serve the living and true God. This is their salvation. This gave them their reputation in verse 8, but it also in verse 10 gives them an anticipation. An anticipation. You know, there are so many things that we as believers are anticipating. You know, so many things. And so many things that our salvation brought to us. Okay? A relationship with God that was broken. Forgiveness of sin. The assurance and the promise of heaven. And some of our dear loved ones, their lifelong faith has now become sight. Okay? They're no longer anticipating heaven. They're there. But the thing that is mentioned here in our text that I want to deal with, their anticipation, it says in verse 10, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And to wait for His Son from heaven. Waiting. We don't always like to wait. No offense to Dr. Doan, but in doctor's offices, they have things called what? Waiting rooms. And not many people go to a waiting room anticipating seeing the dentist or the doctor. You wait there. Don't think of that kind of waiting. Okay? The word wait here in the Greek is a present infinitive. And it means to keep on waiting. Okay? It means constantly looking. And this word emphasizes an expectant and active attempt to live for His glory in the meantime. So it's not a sitting and waiting for the nurse to come out and call your name. It's not that. But it's an active and an expectant attitude that this could be the day. This could be the day that Jesus comes. Oh, and if this could be the day that Jesus comes, I better be living for him. I want to please him when he comes. And it's to wait for his son from heaven. The next phrase may seem a little strange, whom he raised from the dead. But friends, Jesus' resurrection was necessary for his second coming. If there's no resurrection, there's no what? No second coming. And we live in a world that doesn't believe in the resurrection. And we even live in a world where so-called Christians say belief in the resurrection is not necessary. There is no hope in a dead Savior. Okay? If Jesus didn't raise from the dead, then I have no hope. And if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, he's not coming back. But he is alive. He did raise from the dead. He did ascend back into heaven. And as he ascended into heaven, the angels told the apostles and the disciples, just as you've seen him go, he's coming again. And it could be today. And this should be, not only was their anticipation, but it should be our anticipation. Even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, I want to look at this twofold. Jesus delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, it is true that if you are here today and you are a believer, you will not face the wrath of God. Aren't you glad of that? Please look with me to John chapter 3. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. If you got to Acts, you went too far. John chapter 3, verse 36, the great text of Jonathan Edwards as he preached sinners in the hands of an angry God, which brought about revival to New England so long ago. But he said in verse 36, John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath what? Everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son hath not life. But what does it say? The wrath of God abideth on him. And that word abideth, again, it's in the present tense. It's a continual abiding. Okay? It's like it's hanging over man's head. And if you are here today as a saved person, as the Lord Jesus hung on the cross, not only did he die for your sin, but he also died to appease God's wrath. Okay? And as he died and God's wrath was appeased, the Lord Jesus in victory cried out, "It is finished." And 3 days later, God raised him from the dead. So you and I will never, as a believer, you and I will never face the eternal wrath of God. And I am so very thankful for that. I will not have to ever pay sin's punishment because Jesus paid it all. Turn with me to Romans. John, Acts, Romans, chapter 5. Verse 9. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from what? Wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So once again, it says here in our text, it says, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So you and I, as believers, will not face, we are delivered from the wrath of God on our sin, which is hell. It's eternal wrath. It is hell and the lake of fire. But I believe also what this text is speaking about, and I believe more so this text, and that is a truth, what we just learned, the eternal wrath of God. But I wanted to lay that foundation because if God saved us from eternal wrath, wouldn't it also make sense that he saves us from his temporary wrath? What do I mean by that? The 7-year tribulation, okay, that is coming. God's, the time of Jacob's trouble, the 70th week of Daniel, whatever it is that we call it, but the tribulation that's coming, such tribulation that Jesus said the world has never seen trouble like this. Look at Revelation 6, please. Revelation 6, the last book in your Bible, just before the book of Concordance is the book of Revelation. You didn't laugh at my joke. Okay, Revelation 6, verse 16. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the what? Wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Please turn to chapter 16 of the same book, Revelation 16. Verse 1. Revelation 16:1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your way and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. So there's coming a time in the future that the wrath of God is going to be poured out upon the earth. And I believe that because we are children of God, God will deliver us from his wrath because Jesus already took God's wrath. That is why we here in Hill Village Bible Church believe in a pre-tribulational rapture of the church. What do we mean by that? The church will be raptured in its entirety prior to the tribulation. Because the tribulation is God's wrath being poured out upon the world. And because the church will not face the wrath of God. What is another name for the church? The bride of Christ, correct? And when you see some of the descriptions of the bride clothed in white, you know, so much of our present day wedding ceremonies, historic traditional wedding ceremonies anyway, point so much to the Bible. And the attention, of course, that day is not on the groom who's nervously standing up here. No one really cares about him other than maybe his mom or dad. But really, it's all about the bride, right? It's all about the bride. Bridesmaid come in. People make a little fuss, but, you know, all of a sudden, here comes. Everybody stands up. Oh my goodness, here she comes. She's dressed in white. She's looking beautiful, correct? Now, if we're the bride of Christ, you know, how would going through the wrath of God and feeling the wrath of God, would you, ladies, would you go out in your beautiful white wedding dress and play football? Tackle football? You know, we don't want to be stained in any way. And the same thing I believe with the church. God has delivered us from his wrath because Jesus paid it all. Not only his eternal wrath, and I don't want to downplay the tribulation period, but even his temporary wrath, because there's just a short time that comes. So in these three verses that we have looked at, verse 8, 9, and 10, We see basic tenets of Christianity. We see conversion. We see the gospel believer's conversion. We see the true worship of God. We see the believer's hope in the second coming of Christ. We see the gospel believer's belief in the resurrection. We see the gospel believer's complete faith in salvation from the wrath of God. And we see the gospel believer's witness. So I need to ask you a question this morning as we seek to apply this message. Are you echoing the gospel message that you heard and believed? Just as God has delivered you from his wrath, his eternal wrath as well as his temporary wrath, why would you want anybody to know to go through that? Anybody that you know to go through that? You know, we know the truth. We have the truth. We've believed the truth. We need to echo this gospel message that we've heard and that we believe. We need to share this gospel message wherever we go. And we need to do whatever we can through our prayers and our finances to have that gospel message go worldwide. Are you serving and worshiping the true and living God? Are you waiting for Jesus to return from heaven? Are you rapture ready? Maybe you're here today without Christ. And maybe you don't know Christ as your Savior. My friends, we read in John 3:36 that the wrath of God right now abideth on you. God is angry with you because of your sin. How do we rid ourselves from that wrath? By accepting his gift. By believing the Lord Jesus Christ died for my sin, in my place, taking the wrath of God, dying in my place as my substitute. And he didn't stay dead, because there's no hope in a dead Savior. He came back to life. He was seen by over 500 people. That would stand up in any court of law. And he ascended back into heaven, and he's coming again. Do you believe that? If you believe that, praise God. If you don't believe that, come to him today. But if you do believe that, spread that message to everybody you know. Don't worry about what they think of you. That's an important message. Well, what are they going to think of me? Who cares? Share that message. Because you believe it, share it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the gospel. The gospel that changes our lives. The gospel that appeases your wrath. The gospel that takes a lost sinner and gives him a righteous standing in heaven. And I pray that everyone here knows that. But if there's one here that doesn't know that, I pray today would be the day of their salvation. For those of us, Lord, who do know you as Savior, please forgive us for the times the gospel does not echo from our lips. We're quick to spread news about our favorite sports team or our children's accomplishments, and there's time for that. But Lord, the greatest news that we know, the greatest thing that ever happened to us, too often we're so silent as people enter Christless eternities, forever experiencing the wrath of God, There's also coming a day when your wrath will be poured out upon the earth. And Lord, your children will not be here for that, for which we're thankful. So Lord, help us to see the urgency, please. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, but you'd like to know Him as Savior, every head bowed, every eye closed, would you just slip up your hand quietly, please? Say, Pastor, I'd like to be saved. Anyone at all? My dear Christian friend, if you're here today, and you're not as faithful with the gospel as you should be, would you just pray, Lord, help me to be more faithful? And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.